Happy to be here today. We're blessed to have a good weather, actually. We've been repeating it over and over, but we can't help it, because it doesn't happen in the middle of winter. Remember, we are January. January. It's supposed to be cold and windy, and but give us, yeah, snow, the S word, you know. But God gave us this kind of weather, so we take it. Okay. We're going to step aside for a while, in the sense that in the next few weeks, we will have our first election of our, you know, elders. And we have, what do you call this, we have to choose some of our leaders that will help us plan, you know, help us do God's word. And continue to be, you know, to serve the community in this part of Staten Island. So we have to choose our leaders, and you are, you know, you have to choose those people. And then the Bible is open for us today, so we can help out and maybe study and read some of it. Actually, our title this morning is Choosing Our Leaders. We have some verses that we have put on the board as an outline to give us some perspective of how we choose and how we select our leaders, actually. A few weeks from now, we will have the opportunity to choose. But before we start, let me start with something funny. All right. You heard the joke last time, right? I don't know if you remember it. Today there's another one. Maybe you heard it also. There's a believer who went home and find out there's a stranger in her house. You know, the stranger came in already and wanted to commit a crime. So this lady who was a Christian doesn't know what to do. You know, the guy is in the basement or the first floor, and then she's by the door, and he showed a shadow, and she couldn't help, you know, what to do. And then she remembered. She wanted to quote one verse. You know, that's what she remembered. She wants to quote a verse, and she quoted with a loud voice, Acts 2:38. When the thief, you know, heard this verse, he was frozen. He couldn't move. And then the police came, and then they caught the guy and, you know, handcuffed him, and the police interviewed the guy and said, "How come you're frozen when you come?" Well, the lady said he had an axe and 2:38, so what would you do? So, you know, it's something funny, but it's okay. Alright, now we will have to choose our leaders. You know, we have to choose our leaders. And the Bible is full of examples of leaders. Leaders are not perfect people, mind you, okay? Leaders are not, doesn't commit the thing that we always look into. They're not perfect. And the Bible has a lot of examples of that. In fact, this morning we will study those verses. And some qualification. The Bible has so many examples of leaders. Some qualification written in this very chapter that we will read today, and try to understand it and try to at least get a gauge. So in choosing our leaders, we will have some perspective and what the Bible is saying about our leaders. Let's open our Bible to Timothy, 1 Timothy. I know you have done these verses in the book, but let me just go through those again, and maybe, you know, find something that we haven't listened to, and then find a proper perspective, a biblical perspective in choosing our leaders. In Timothy, 1 Timothy, the writer of this book is Paul. He was writing to Timothy, and he was writing these verses. Here is a trustworthy saying: whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle. In other words, in other version, it says not pugnacious. You know, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church, which is the family of believers? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with the outsider, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into devil's trap. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. You know, this qualification of a bishop or overseers or deacons, or in the Greek word diakonos, which means servant, these are all observable qualifications. Don't forget, these are all observable qualifications. We cannot judge the heart, actually. I can see some of you, but I cannot judge the heart. Same as you are. You can see a person, you know, a man, a woman, you know, you look at her, you look at him, but you cannot see the heart. Only God can discern the heart. Only God can see the heart. We cannot judge, you know. That's why Paul gives us an observable qualification of people around us. We can see it, you know. We can judge them because we see them. We see them if they are, just like I told you in the other version, pugnacious. Because some people are, I know a person who always pick fights. You know, whenever there's argument, you say, okay, let's go outside and, you know, finish this up. Yeah, there's some guys like that, you know. They're easy to be, you know, very hot-tempered, something like that. Very quarrelsome, you know. Let's just go outside and finish it up, right? There's some guys like that. They want to, you know, look manly and, you know, and ready to fight always. There's some men like that. But overseers and bishop, God said, these are observable qualifications. We can see them. You can see me. You can see the guys over here. You can see women over here. We can see the leaders over here. You know, people around us, we can see them. And we can judge them by the manner of how they act and interact with other believers. So this is not a, you know, this is not a, it's not that easy, it's not that hard, but we can see them. The Bible is here, you know. The first qualification is, here is a trustworthy saying, whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble act, noble task. So the first qualification, he must desire the work. He wants to be an overseer. He wants to be a servant of God. You know, he desires it. There's a lot of guys here who desire to work, to be, you know, to be part of God's kingdom. And we can, you know, even though they don't voice out, some men don't really voice out. If you will study the Bible, especially the Old Testament, you can see the pattern of those great leaders. Moses said, Lord, I cannot speak. You know, I'm slow of speech, right? But he became one of the great leaders of Israel, right? Even Isaiah said, Lord, I'm a simple person, but God called him to be a great prophet. And he became a great prophet, right? The Bible, look at the heart, you know? And these are humble people. You know, they desire, they have something like, you know, they decide to lead. You know? And the Bible said they have, you know, they have their meekness and humility. And we can see that in people. You know? We can see that in people because these are observable, you know, qualification. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife. The first design is a man and a woman. That's the first design of God, okay? But context, if you will, the context of Bible, some Jewish group or people also carry, like, you know, I don't know if you remember Solomon. I guess you remember Solomon. He has 300 wives, right? And 700 concubines. 300 that he married because of political reasons, I guess. And 700 that, you know, he didn't marry, but they call him his wife. So there's some Jewish, you know, at that time, there's some people that, even some religions carry, you can marry four ladies, as long as you can support them or able to support them, right? But the first design of God is a man and a woman. So if you're one of the group who marries a lot of ladies, I don't think you're qualified to be an overseer. Because the Bible said, it's over here, it's clear, faithful to his wife. He doesn't say faithful to his wives. Otherwise, the Bible will say this. So this is the design of God from the beginning. If we will study the book of Genesis, a man and a woman. Okay? So to be a leader, to be a bishop, to be an overseer, to be a shepherd of the flock of God, you have to be married or you have to be with one wife according to the context of the Bible. Alright? So it says over here, temperate. You should be temperate. You should be gentle. You should be self-controlled. You should be respectable. You should be hospitable. I mean to say that God always tell the, you know, the Jewish nation, don't mind all the strangers in the land. Because don't forget, you were a stranger one time. Right? Because Jewish history, they were in Egypt. You know? And they were they become slaves over there. That's why every teaching God, remember, don't forget those strangers in the land. Because one time you were strangers in a land also. You know? When you are a stranger in a land, it's not a comparable feeling, right? So when you're in somebody's home, it's not an easy feeling too, right? Unless the guy who owns the home, you know, make you feel comfortable. Meaning to say, they show hospitality. They don't treat you as, you know, as like a stranger. Like, you know, everything that is, you know, every step that you take, every movement that you do, you know, you're being, you know, seen upon. Like, you know, they don't trust you. An elder, a bishop, an overseer, a shepherd should be hospitable. Meaning to say, strangers, you know, guests, people who don't, you know, who have no houses, homes, should be treated when they're in your houses, you know, with care and love, and, you know, as if you once also, to, you know, you want one time in your life you were a stranger, you know, to a land also. So you must be hospitable. Able to teach. Yeah. Teach. I mean to say, you have to know the word of God and able to teach the word of God. Because you're leading a flock. So you're able to lead and tell the flock, this is the way. This is the right way. You don't show them the cliff and then everybody falls, right? He has to know the Word of God. I'm not saying you know the Bible from cover to cover. I'm saying you have to know the Word of God. A while ago, we're studying, you should develop your knowledge. I mean to say you have to spend time. Right? One time, I think one of you said you're selling a product, right? You're selling a washing machine. You're selling something like, you know, a new product. And you have to know what's the product is for. And we're sharing the good news of God. We're sharing the Bible, the mysteries about Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ. So we have to know them. At least, you know, you're able to teach, you're able to lead, you're able to tell somebody this is the grace of God, this is the mercies of God. Not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not lover of money. And he must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him. And he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? Right? So, this is observable qualification. We can see that. And a lot of you are qualified, because I know a lot of you are having this qualification. You manage your household. You're respectable. People around our community, you know, around the community says, oh, good things about us. Not that we are pleasing them, but we are doing this because we want to do God's word. Okay? So these are our guides in reference to our leaders. And I know for sure that we have leaders over here that is qualified to do that. You know, they have good report of the community, and they manage their household so they can manage the household of God. The responsibilities of an elder is to in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to 4, these are the responsibilities of a shepherd, of an elder, of an overseer, of a bishop. These are all similar words, actually, translated in our we can even call them managers. You know, in our word nowadays, how to define them. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 1 to 4, it says like this: to the elders among you, I appeal as fellow elders and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing this honest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples of the flock. And when Christ shepherds appears, he is the chief shepherd, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders, all of you. Clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. It says over here, we are, you know, to shepherd the flock of God. In John 10, there's two examples of shepherds over there. We will read the whole chapter. There is a hired shepherd and the true shepherd. The hired shepherd take care of the flock, but he's waiting for compensation. You know, that's the hired shepherd. He's taking care of the sheep, you know, but he's waiting for, his motivation is different, because he's waiting for compensation. But the true shepherd doesn't wait for his compensation. Because he is the true shepherd, he says over here, is willing to give his life for the flock. Right? You know, I'll be honest with you, believers are compared to ships. You know why? You know why we are compared to ships? Any idea why we are compared to ships? Am I pronouncing it right? You know why? I'm not kidding, okay? Because ships are the dumbest animal. I know, it's hard to swallow, right? I know, yeah. Because they easily get astray. You know, if there's no shepherd shepherding them, if there's no person leading them, they easily go astray and falls to a disaster situation. That's the truth. That's the truth. You know? That's the truth. They always, if there's nobody watching over them, they go that way, they go this way, they go, you know. Next time you know, he was about to fall on a cliff. Or he is all, you know, he's there to, you know, to drown in the river. A shepherd has to be with them to guide them, you know, to lead them to the road that will make them safe and reach, you know, pastures that they can eat. You know? That's why we need shepherd. We need true shepherd. We need bishops. We need managers. We need the overseers that will take care of the flock. Not lording them. You know, the Bible says not lording them. Not saying, oh, I'm the best person over here. You are nothing. So listen to me. No, that's not the qualification of the elder or the bishop or the manager. The Bible says not lording over them. Meaning to say, we're leading the ships, we're leading the flock of God with humility and humbleness. And we lead by examples. We lead by examples. We lead by examples. Our motivation is because of the love of God, of the grace of God. And we are ready to give our life for the flock. Right? We are ready to lead the flock. It says over watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing this honest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples of the flock. Wow. Examples of the flock. We lead by humility. Our leaders should lead by humility and examples. That is our responsibility as bishops, overseers, as managers, as elders of the church, and even as deacons. Deacons mean diakonos. Diakonos means servant. It doesn't mean you wear a different tie. It doesn't mean that you wear a different coat. No, it's not the title. The title is servanthood. The title is willingness, and the title is humbleness and humility, because you want to lead the flock of God. Alright? So that's how we choose our leaders. These are observable. Let me repeat again, observable. We can see them. We can see them. You can see them. You can see them. Who are these men of church? Who are these ladies of the church that can lead? And God will raise those people up. You know, God will raise those people up. I know for real. Because God did that in the Bible. You know? People who are, you know, who are imperfect people. People who have, you know, had mistakes and committed mistakes over and over again. But they are willing because they want to lead the flock of God. Alright? And then, maybe the next question is, what's our responsibility for our leaders? There must be another side of the story, right? I keep telling you about this responsibility. But what is this responsibility of the flock, the sheep, for our leaders? All right? Let's open our Bible to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Got your verses with you. It says over here, chapter 13, verse 17, it's clearly stated here, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they kept watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be no benefit to you. As members, we have to listen to them. We have to submit to them. And the most important thing is, I guess, we have to pray for them. Yeah? Just like what we we pray for our leaders. And I don't know if you analyzed, the war was averted, right? We pray for our president not to react impulsively because some of you were, even my work, they were, some people are, you know, expecting another, you know, conflict going on. But Christians are praying, you know, countries pray, and a lot of people are concerned. So we pray that these leaders of ours have a heart of humbleness and humility, and you know, and avoid you know, going to violence and whatnot, and you know, something that they will never you know, taken back in one stroke of the hand. So we pray for that, and I'm pretty sure God answers us. And as our leaders also, we have to pray for our leaders. As our responsibility as members of the flock. We have to pray for them so that they will continue leading the flock with humbleness and humility, and then forget the word servanthood. You know? So people might not think that if you put them in the front, there's always the temptation of lordship. They think of them highly of themselves. And they think they're the best one, you know, being the lord of everybody. That's not the qualification of a godly leader. A godly leader is humble, he's meek, and he has a heart of a servant. Actually, our sermon this week will be a two-part, so I will continue this next week. I know it's not a very interesting topic, but since we are on our election thing, we will elect our leaders in the coming weeks. So let this be our perspective, you know, or our, let's say, our gauge. That we can choose our leaders here to continue helping us to grow in this part of Stanley Island, in our community. We can do a lot. God opened a service here, and I have faith that God will do great things, and we have to choose our leader. All right? That will guide us and continue to lead us in humbleness. Let's bow our heads, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again. Thank you for the Bible is open to us and we can read, oh God. And we can find qualification of the leaders that we wanted to, people that wanted to, we wanted to lead us, oh God. I know we can choose and we can have one, but oh God, let us examine the Bible, examine your word, and I know for sure that God, you can raise men, women here to be our leaders so that they can lead the flock and continue serving me in this part of Staten Island. Our community over here, we can reach people around us and tell them that Jesus died for them. Oh God, thank you so much for people around here, oh God. We're so joyful and thankful that we are we once again have a time to honor and worship you, oh God. Thank you, oh God, for the gift of time that you gave us, oh God. May we continue that in honoring you and serving you, oh God. Please bless us the rest of our service this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I think we have a song of invitation. So if you want to rededicate your life to God or wanted to maybe put your membership on this small congregation, you are free to do so and be a part of our community in this Staten Island.
Let's all stand up as we sing Give Me Faith. Today is the day of salvation. If you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, now is the time.
Break me apart, I need. morning.
Good morning.
For our communion, I'll be reading from Acts.